Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Hagman and Hagman Report with Pastor Paul Begley. His website, paulbegleyprophecy.com. That's paulbegleyprophecy.com. He broadcasts each and every weekday from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's found on Blog Talk Radio, also on YouTube, Paul Begley 34, and you can hear him also Sunday nights, Paul?
7, 10 p.m. Eastern at on all those same spots.
That's all right. Great, man. And folks, tomorrow we're going to be, we were honored to be asked to be guests on Paul's show tomorrow. So listen in spite of us. But one thing that I got some information today I didn't know quite what to do with, and I was going to do a video. And folks, for the backdrop for tomorrow, you can go to our YouTube page. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com and click on the YouTubes, and you can see the videos that I've done about Scalia, about the death, and about the responsiveness, or about the response, I should say. But tomorrow, what I decided what I'll do is, having vetted the information as much as I have been able to, I'll just break the information I have tomorrow on Pastor Paul's show, and I believe that'll be the first out. I don't think any of the mainstream media has got this information, or if they do, they're sitting on it, but I do believe that the information you'll hear tomorrow on Pastor Paul Begley's show, tune into that show, regardless of us, but tune into that show, because I think you're going to be rather surprised by what we're going to deliver. Pastor, and thank you again for joining us. I know it's a long day for you, and I know that you're and you were sick for some time, and our prayers have been with you, and I just want to say thank you for really being a trooper for tonight.
Well, it's always an honor, guys. It's always, and I'm feeling much better, by the way. I'm feeling much better, and so I kind of feel about 90%, and
that's great, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be fine. I'll be fine.
We've had so many people praying for you, and we've gotten so many emails asking how you've been and how you are, and they hear you, but they want to make sure that you're okay. So this is great, and it's so good. We're just so delighted to have you on our show tonight. But I want to get your take on this, and if you permit me, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a kind of a backdrop here. Over the last 7 days in the Middle East, we've seen critical mass, in my view, approaching. And if one looks at the Middle East and at the epicenter, that being Syria, and that we've said all along, World War III will begin in Syria. Syria will explode, not implode like Libya and such. A week ago, the Kurds, the Syrian military, and Iran, using Hezbollah, started really a general offensive to contain, to close in the pocket that contained the last doorway into Turkey. And inside this pocket were remnants of the opposition to Assad. Now, under the cover of sustained air attacks by the Russian Air Force, the result has been made clear. Turkey understands that they are losing the war. Turkey understands that they now face total collapse of all their military, political, diplomatic goals they set out to achieve: the overthrow of the Assad government and the creation of a Turkish enclave covering all of northern Syria was the goal. This attempt really failed for both Turkey and its Saudi Arabian allies. Now, a week ago, Saudi Arabia mobilized somewhere between, 150 and 250,000 men for an exercise called Northern Thunder. In response, Turkey, they initiated this, they began this willy-nilly artillery shelling of Kurdish positions inside Syria. Now, this shelling has not only lasted 7 full days, but it's expanded from one city to 11 cities, almost a dozen, well, actually a dozen cities today. So in 7 days, they went from shelling one city to 12 cities. And in addition to all of the military response, Turkey's suffered 3 separate terror attacks, killing dozens of people. And we've had a guest by the name of Doug McIntosh on, who has got a website called doomerdoug.com. Anyway, and he summarizes this nicely, but the long and short of it is this, Pastor. We've gone from, in the last 7 days, we've seen this tremendous escalation over in Syria. Yeah, we've gone from no terror attacks in Turkey to three. We've gone from no Saudi Arabian allies or soldiers to the minimum 150,000. We've gone from the so-called diplomatic efforts to find a peaceful situation, which I don't think that was ever the case, to now people saying, okay, buckle up because we are going to, things are going to ramp up. So in the last 7 days, we've seen more events take place than we had in this area in the last really 70 years. Now, having said all that, the question I have to you is, Pastor, are we looking at the biblical prophecy here? I mean, with respect to what's going on? I mean, what's your take on this?
I believe so. I really do. I've been saying here the last couple days that all the players are on the field. If you go to Ezekiel 38, it starts telling you about the great battle of Gog and Magog that's coming. Now, we're not getting ready to have, I don't think, the Gog and Magog war yet, but the players that are going to be in that war are on the field. In other words, they're all there. They're actually all either in Syria or on the edge of it, ready to come in. When you mentioned this Saudi Arabian 150,000 to 250,000 coalition, it's actually, they're calling it the Sunni coalition. There's eight nations, which includes Egypt, which I found that fascinating. Egypt's involved, and Kuwait is involved. And Saudi Arabia and Turkey are teaming up, is what it's really about. What's incredible about this, Turkey keeps bombing the Kurds. They bombed again today. And like you said, this Northern Thunder operation has expanded from 7 to 12 cities. They have to make a decision. I think Turkey, and they're trying to rebuild their old Ottoman Empire. And at the same time, Russia's trying to reestablish Mother Russia. And of course, both of them, Turkey and Russia, both would like to control that oil up in northern Syria. And Russia wants to use Assad as the puppet and wants to strengthen it with help from the Iranians and even the Chinese that sent 5,000 soldiers. But Turkey is the culprit here. Turkey and Saudi Arabia are the ones that are buying the oil from ISIS, which is in, that just absolutely blows my mind. Protecting ISIS to flow on into Turkey. Even ISIS is even control of one of the passport offices that's set on the border of Turkey and in control of making passports, making illegal documents and helping Syrians come across into Turkey, on into Greece, on into the EU. So you're right. There's something going to happen. Biblically, when we look at Ezekiel 38, it talks about a hook being set in the jaws. I think the hook is the oil. I think it is. The hook is in the jaw. The armies have been gathered in. Turkey's got to make a decision. Turkey's got to make a decision probably in the next 72 hours. Are they, because the longer they wait, the quicker Russia and the Iranians can get their artillery, their defense mechanisms, get everything in position for a counteroffensive in case of an invasion by Saudi Arabia, Turkey. So I think Turkey and Saudi Arabia will have to make a decision. They'll have to do something within 72 hours, although I hear they're going to make an attack in early March. That is word on the street, but I don't know if that's true. But I think if they don't make an attack or make an offensive quickly, an invasion, they're going to lose the element of surprise, and they're going to have to back away, and they may walk away. If they walk away, they're done. They're not going to ever pull it off. So could we have Psalms 83 spin out of that, which means an attack on Israel? See, at some point, they turn on Israel. Somebody does, or several of them do. But I think we're about ready to see a major Middle East war that could be catastrophic. There's too much sarin gas, too much nuclear stuff floating around, too many people with too many big bombs anymore. This could be a catastrophe of global consequences here, and it's really up to Turkey. If Turkey pulls the trigger, Russia will smack them. I guarantee it.
interesting. I mean, we see things, you know, since 2011 and the Arab Spring and the, well, the spontaneous Arab Spring to Benghazi to the overthrow of the dictators and countries over there. It's turning nothing more but civil war. This is where the immigration crisis across Europe and America is coming from, these displaced Syrians. I forget the number that they said a few years back, 5-10 years back, how many Christians were in the land. I think it was a quarter of a million or many million. Now it's, you know, reduced below 75% of what it was years ago. We see the persecution taking place. And, you know, just today there's an article out of the Daily Beast about Obama refusing to hit ISIS's Libyan capital. They say the terror groups gained ground in Libya, but the Obama administration has said no to a Pentagon plan to go after ISIS there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Despite the growing threat from the Islamic State in Libya, Obama turned down a military plan for an assault on the ISIS regional hub there, the defense officials told the Daily Beast. And, yeah, you know, there's this conflict we see where Obama continues to talk about ISIS as though it is not a threat, or though that they are taking care of the threat.
Their JV
the
team, right?
JV,
the JV,
yeah,
team, then they're bombing it, and there's been some, you know, 3,000 bombings of ISIS targets in the last year.
Where's
year
all
and
the
a half?
Dead ISIS soldiers? Where's
exactly
the bomb? I'm tired of hearing about his bombing campaign, that he's killing, he's stopping ISIS. Here's what I see. I see a 15-year-old boy today in Mosul getting his head chopped off in front of thousands of people, forced to stand in the street of Mosul, which is the ancient city of Nineveh, and a 15-year-old boy, because they found him with a Walkman listening to music from America. He was brought before the Sharia court. In 10 minutes, they ruled he should be executed. They drug him out into the middle of the street and executed him. And this is just common practice. And America, Obama talks about how he's fighting this war against ISIS, and we've got them contained, and everything's under control. When the truth is, these guys control half of Iraq, half of Syria. They're raping and butchering and crucifying and executing and murdering and beheading. And this is the most insanity I've ever seen. To your point, since the Arab Spring was actually authored by Obama. He called for every dictator that fell. He called their names out. And then Hillary Clinton went out there and made sure it happened. And then whenever that happened, I don't know what he thought his plan was, because what ended up happening, pull out of Iraq, tell them 14 months in advance you're leaving, and then there's this vacuum. And then leave all the artillery. Leave tanks and armored vehicles and Toyota Tundra trucks and weapons and supplies and, oh yeah, $400 million of U.S. currency in one vault in Mosul. And we're having some kind of bombing campaign. I don't see a bombing campaign. What I see, and it's not our guys, it's not our military people. They could do it, guys. They could do it. They could clean house. If the generals were allowed to do their job, this thing would have been over a long time ago. But you're right. This is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life, and it has now you got too many players, too many different armies and groups, and everybody's got a skin in the game now, and they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do. And I think that to be honest with you, I believe it's just begun. A lot of folks are tired of hearing about Syria, and they're tired of hearing about the Middle East. It's just begun there. This has been the warm-up game. Now you're getting ready to see the real bloodshed, because you got too many people now who want a piece of this pie. It's going to get ugly, with a capital U. I mean ugly. And Obama has done nothing as a commander-in-chief of this nation but create this chaos. And I feel, you know what, you better pray for whoever is the next commander-in-chief. I don't know what in the world they're going to have to be able to do to bring this to a conclusion, because there's the genie's out of the bottle. There's too many players.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 15-year-old boy who was beheaded for listening to Western music today. I don't know if you saw, there was an update on a previous story. There is a U.S. Marine who, I believe it was a Marine here, that had a story on Fox News about a Marine who stopped, or an Army man, the U.S. Army or Marine personnel who stopped a 15-year-old boy from being raped, who is being sanctioned by our government.
By our government. Yes.
Well,
I don't know if you heard.
No,
that.
I did not hear about that. Why is he being sanctioned?
Because he intervened,
interfering with local tribal customs.
Here it is. Decision looms for Army sergeant who protected Afghan boy. It's on Fox News. A decorated Army sergeant who protected an Afghan boy from a child molester could find out any day whether his actions will end his career in the military. Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, a Green Beret with an 11-year Special Forces career, was stationed in Afghanistan in 2011. When the boy's mother came to him, she said she'd been beaten and her son raped by local police commander, and another soldier summoned the police officer, and when the man laughed at them, they threw him off the base, and then they were both disciplined for their actions.
Well, it has to do with the tribal customs, so yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah, I did hear about this story a few months ago, and they're bringing it up now because, I mean, how can you court-martial... and ruin the career of a no doubt a very brave American military personnel for trying to save the life of a young man that's being brutalized by these guys. I mean, this shows you the level of mentality of the Obama administration. This shows you the hypocrisy, the greatest hypocrisy I've ever seen in my life, is what we see constantly from the Obama administration. I tell you, after having my son spend a year fighting in Afghanistan during the surge, and when he comes back, and then they literally humiliated thousands of U.S. veterans after they endured unthinkable conditions and situations, and they were many times they were outnumbered and put in dangerous. He said, "Dad, I was put in so many dangerous situations. It was insane." And I said, "Well, it's because your mama was praying every night. It's the reason you're home." You know, he said, "Well, I know. It surely wasn't because I was getting enough help." And the whole deal is this. This has been the biggest joke that's ever happened to an American. The military is being stripped down naked. The Obama administration has created the biggest massacre and madness we've ever seen. And no wonder Hillary's emails are being hidden and protected and covered over, because if you really knew what all was in those emails, that's why she had to operate outside the system. There would be people they would be screaming for treasonary convictions from the top down in the Obama administration of some of the things that's happened.
Yeah, one of those examples being the sale to the Russians of the land of the ranchers out in Oregon, from the Bundy Ranch in Nevada to the mineral rights of the Hammonds Ranch out in Oregon, where this whole standoff that just recently ended, this all, you know, came back to Hillary Clinton selling those rights to Russia.
To the Russians, yeah, and under the Obama administration, the Clinton connections with the Clinton Foundation, of course, but Hillary Clinton was the one that let this go through. The Russians are buying the mineral rights from these Hammonds Ranch, which they then took from them for pennies on the dollar. And this kind of mentality, you know, when you talk about eminent domain, you know, if you talk about putting in a bridge, or you're putting in a highway or something, and you know, there's a time maybe you have to work with people to try to acquire some of their property for that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about massive amounts of thousands of acres, and they're stealing it from these people because they want those mineral rights. And then you see the dirty hands of the Clintons involved in the selling this to the Russians. I mean, you're right, guys. Everywhere we turn, it stinks to your nostrils. It's going to take, I don't even know, it's going to take one whole term just to figure out what they did, and then another term to try to fix it. I'm telling you, that's the mess we're in.
Mm. Yeah, indeed.
You won't figure it all out. You won't figure it all out in the first term. I mean, they'll uncover under every rock, there'll be a scandal. It's incredible what's went on here with the Clinton Foundation, the Obama Nation. It's bad.
Exactly. And the foreign money that's involved in the Clinton Foundation, the foreign money that has been documented behind Obama, his first and even his reelection campaign, all of this together, it's just never before, at least in my memory, in the history of the United States, have we ever seen such corruption at such high levels and the nod of approval. It's all right. We're not going to prosecute. Lois Lerner, I mean, you know, we can go back and we... Pastor Evil. Yeah.
I mean the Fast and Furious. And with El Chapo. El Chapo's got one of the guns. He's hanging out with the guns from Fast and Furious. Where's Eric Holder? He should be in a holding cell. Hillary should have been in prison 4 years ago. Lying directly to the citizens there. Like you said, I mean, we've seen nobody's ever been fired yet for anything. No one's been indicted for anything, Doug. I've never seen a former president involved in a global connections. You know, I mean, this Clinton Foundation, this is a new deal. I've never seen this before of all the former presidents we've ever had. Nobody's been jet-setting the world, getting paid $500,000 for an hour, and then the favoritism with the wife working in the State Department. I mean, this is unbelievable. Can this really be serious?
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. Are you serious?
Are you serious? I mean, but you know what it is, guys? Americans are watching reality TV. They're keeping up with the Kardashians. Okay? They're wondering about Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Kent, Jayden. They're trying to figure out. I mean, this is where our mind is. Our minds are in the gutter. And we don't even know what's going on. And we're like frogs roasting on a pot. And it's going to take programs like this to open the eyes of the blind.
Well, amen. And programs like yours, folks, we're talking with Pastor Paul Begley, paulbegleyprophecy.com, linked off of Hagman and Hagman. I'll tell you something, Pastor. You've done so much to really inform and educate the masses, and you've, it's just, I'm amazed when I look back over the last couple of years, last 4 years specifically, or even 5 years, to see how much how the landscape of how people get their information has changed, and you're really a forerunner in the in this new delivery system of information, and I want to thank you for that, folks. Please bookmark his website and tune into his show every day. That should be, it's just and catch the, on the archive too. It's just an amazing amount of information. Before we get back to Pastor Paul Begley, I want to remind people, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, that's our place for preps, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. I was just told, you know, they do so much for so many. That includes Christians and veterans and everybody. Chance from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com had just sent me a note saying, hey, you know what? The New King James Bibles are in. If you are in need of a Bible and you can't afford one, contact them. Contact AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You see, this is what it's all about, folks. It's about getting the Word out, and the Bible and the Word of God in the hands of people requesting it. So AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're going to be at Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas. And it's, but they do so much for so many. So AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, they're our go-to place for all things preparation. It's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. King James Bibles are in. So if you are in need, contact them by email. Joe, go ahead, sir.
All right. Number of issues here. The monetary situation in this country, Pastor. We've had Jerry Robinson on yesterday. He is not only an economist and an author, but he's also a Christian minister. And he talked about the economic conditions of the world economy, that they have not been this dire, even back from the 08 recession to the 2000 recession and before it. What have you seen, or what have you been seeing with the economy, and where...
And the chip too. Pastor Paul's on the front line of the chip information, the RFID stuff. Yeah, gotta know.
Yeah, I think the economy. We've never seen, this is the worst start for the Wall Street since 1932. That's a bad sign. And then if you look at the global markets, I mean, the global markets have really taken. They've been tanking. China took a big hit for quite some time. And then, and that affected, of course, the rest of the Asian markets. Hong Kong, it affected the Asian markets as well as the European markets. And then last week, we've seen two different days where Japan lost 5% one day and 4.8% the next day. And the Japanese market is in trouble. The currencies, you know, it's coming home to the Chinese because they've manipulated their currency values so long, and now it's in a process of correcting itself, and their economy is disastrous right now. What's happening in their markets? But that will eventually trickle down to their economies on Main Street there. And then if you take a look at Europe's got the several problems. They've got an unstable economy, it's because of the markets, and they've got a migrant problem, a terrorist problem that's paralyzing Paris. It's freezing up France. It's got the Germans afraid to go out at night. People are not spending the money like they were, and instead they got to pump a lot of money into their protection of their citizens because of this migrant problem. So we're watching. There's a correction going on here. It's more than a correction. I think that we're teetering on the brink of a major decline from recession to something maybe even a little worse. Now, I think America's got a strong enough financial base that it can pull itself out and can correct itself. But we're so far in debt, we're going to end up being $21 trillion in debt by the time the next president is sworn in. It will be $21 trillion in debt. So for us to start to turn that around, are we going to have to start in with austerity measures as well? Greece, Italy, Portugal, and Spain are broke, busted, and disgusted, and yet five of the largest major banks in Europe are on the brink of collapsing. That's another problem. So this is a time bomb. It's a time bomb, and you can't keep just quantum easing. You can't just keep printing money and hoping it'll fix it. It's got to this implosion point. And so here comes the problem. I believe this. This is why you mentioned the mark or the chip. Last summer I talked to a lady who works for the federal government, and they've built a system that is absolutely impossible to steal. It's a biometric chip system that interfaces you, your DNA, with your money or with your ability to buy and sell. And this chip system will not work. You can't work unless it's you. You could remove the chip from an individual and try to use it yourself. It won't work. It's tied to your DNA. It's absolutely foolproof. It's identity theft proof. And they've got it. They've perfected it. They're ready to launch it as soon as the need, her words, the need arises. And what will bring the need is when chaos hits and people are trying to figure out ways to just rob one another to survive, that this new implanted system will be brought forward. And the microchip itself is not the size of a grain of rice. It's the size of a grain of sand. It will be so easy to implement. But there's more to it than that. If you study the Bible, you realize that it's not just the system itself to manage a one world currency, but coming along with it has to be social changes and denials of the current faith of Christianity. And, you know, it's what we talked about when we started the program that the Pope's involved in, and that's the blending of all religions into one. That's a part of how you bring it all about, is you have to have not only a system that will do it, they've got it. They've got the system that will do it. Now they got to have a reason to bring it out. And I'm telling you, this unstable market that we're witnessing, and this could go on. This could go on for three, four more years, this instability. But the theft, the amount of theft and hackers, you guys hear about the hospital in Hollywood? The hackers held a hospital hostage in Hollywood, California for a week. They took over the computer systems of a hospital, and the doctors and nurses had to write everything down, document by hand, and they were transferring patients out of the hospital because they were being held hostage. These guys wanted $3.6 million to release their system. It's just a matter of time when the banking systems are going to come under the same thing. So when the need arises for a new system, when they scream for a new system, you're going to see it come out. And so that's where I think we're at right now. They're ready. The technology has caught up with the prophecy. The technology has caught the prophecy. Now we're waiting for the implementation.
Pastor, how would it be possible, in your view, for a Christian today, perhaps one listening to this very program tonight, how would it be possible for them to be convinced to accept the mark of the beast and it not being, or a chip or whatever? I mean, can you walk me through that scenario?
Well, here's what they're going to do. First of all, they're going to be in the process of weakening the pastors. They're going to convince the pastors to come off of their positions of faith that they've held, no matter what denomination they're from Christianity. They're going to start blending it. This is part of this blending and accepting this Chrislam mentality. You got to first blend Christianity and Islam and Chrislam and tie this thing together. So that's already in process. This is being worked on right now, especially at some of the top leaders of major denominations as well as some of your mega ministries. So first you got to go there. But here's the other, if you're going to convince the masses, it's okay to do this. Second thing you do is you start telling people you can't say Jesus' name. You tell the military chaplains you cannot dismiss a funeral or pray in the name of Jesus. You remove all the Bibles from off the military tables that you had in memorials, waiting for the missing, those that are missing action. You start this process of removing the crosses off the top of steeples. Have you ever been driving around and look at the steeples of churches now? Very few have a cross now. There's new steeples up, there's no cross. Okay, don't want to be offensive. Have to be inclusive. So this doctrine of watering down and milking it down, that's already in process big time. But then when you get to this, so when you come to this, you can't buy or sell. You can't get health care for your children. If you don't take this system, which also you're signing, when you sign these documents to receive this new mark system, you also are agreeing that you will not be a part of any real radical Christian religious groups, okay? You can't be a part of any militias. You can't be a part of any of those, you know, dogmatic Christians. You got to be a part of the overall, be a part of the peace-loving. You got to embrace this. We would hate to turn your children away. We'd hate for you to go to hospitals and can't get care. We'd hate for you to show up at the store and not be able to buy food. We'd hate for you to lose your jobs. You can forget your pension. I mean, when that's the pressure they're going to apply. But you couldn't apply that pressure today. There's too many Christians who would say, hold it a minute, wait a minute, that would stand up. But if you weaken them, if you weaken the doctrines, if you weaken the gospel to such a point that it's okay, everything's okay, then this is okay too, and God understands, and He'll forgive us at the end. And they'll start writing stuff into the Word that's not even in the Word, okay? No, God won't understand. He said, if you take this thing, you're damned for hell. It's in the book, because you have to deny Christ. It's coming. This system includes denying Christ. You will not be, I get letters all the time and emails, Pastor, how do I know? I don't want to be tricked into this. Don't worry, you won't be. You won't be. Not one person will be tricked into the mark of the beast on this planet. Every person that chooses knows when they sign it, they're signing away Jesus Christ. But they will be convinced that it's okay. They won't be tricked, they'll be convinced. This and Doug, if I could put a time limit on it, which I can't, but I can tell you what I've seen in the last six years of biblical prophecy, where we were in just 2010 till now. I don't know how, this is unbelievable how quickly this is coming. If time should last six more years from today, it would be shock me if we don't see people standing in line waiting for their mark. Would not shock. It's because the church world is a great falling away. There's a great falling away. I mean, what it means by it is falling away from the principles of the gospel. And it would not shock me. I'm not saying it's going to happen in 6 years, but it would shock me as fast as what I've seen in the last 6 years. Who ever heard of an Arab Spring? Who thought we'd have this Middle East madness? Whoever thought we'd see such unstableness in the stock markets and Wall Street and Main Street? Whoever thought we'd see people actually being beheaded and crucified on a daily basis and it don't even make people nervous anymore? Whoever thought we would see 10,000 missing children in Europe? Whoever thought we would see the sex trade and the porn trade and the drug trade absolutely off the charts? Whoever thought we would see what we've been witnessing in 6 years? It's incredible. Where will we be in six more years?
And you're right, Pastor. They have the ability to launch the RFID medical electronic health record initiative either through voluntary compliance measures and pilot programs with incentives through or on the other side of that, public health disasters. You know, they say that protecting health in a public health emergency requires an array of drugs, vaccines, and mobile medical devices. And this is from the government's own writings. And they've passed laws from the 2015 PHEMCE strategy, or the Pandemic All Hazards Preparedness Reauthorization Act. And they have ready to go in place the legislation to implement this system. Now, whether they have the technology ready, they have the Global Unique Identification Database system set up. They have the international, I think it's the, I don't want to misquote it, there, it's an acronym, it's IC something, ICBM, no, that's the missile code. It's a, there's an international code for the Global Unique Identification Number, which is part of each and every mobile medical device. And they have the classifications. You know, one per se can be in the classification of a pacemaker, where a second one is a hearing aid. Well, there is a classification of one that is simply for patient identification and health information.
Absolutely. And
that is what they can implement in times of emergency across the board, or they can do it, as I said, through voluntary compliance and pilot programs using incentives and de-incentives for those who choose not to comply.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in the Obamacare bill, this RFID microchip implant, it's called Identification Registry. This mm-hmm. is part of the plan, and that's supposed to be implemented by the year 2017. It was supposed to have been in 2013, but there was no way the public was ready for it. There was no way. And they didn't have this identification system. I'm telling you that the lady told me, who works for the federal government, had actually seen it. Okay, they didn't have it ready yet. They do now, and they can implement this thing. And in the year 2017, now they can always push the date out if they want to. But in the year 2017, part of the bill is that this is supposed to be part of the mandate. I'm not saying they're mandating the mark of the beast, but they're going to start this mandating that you have to have certain identification implanted registry to be sure you are who you say you are. This is, like you said, they've already got it on anything you implant, like pacemakers, breast implants, just all kinds of different things that they can put in the human body. Those already come with these RFID tags. Okay, those are already in those. But they're going to take it another step. And you're right, they're going to use these different programs to help bring these initiatives across. It's already in play. It's in play. It absolutely is just coming down the pike. Another thing I wanted to throw out there, depopulization. Part of the reason why the Pope says it's okay now to have contraceptives, he's part of this global sustainability of the United Nations. The Agenda 2030, they call it, global sustainability, includes decreasing the population of the planet. Well, you got to get the Pope and his 1.2 billion Catholics to start using contraceptives. You got to get people, less population, and it's going to be used in different ways. That's one. We're seeing this vaccination sterilization program by Bill Gates. They're working on. Sorry, as a Freudian slip there. It just happens to see Bill Gates of hell. I mean, but the thing is, what we're witnessing, guys, is there. It's creeping in. It's beyond creeping in. It's an imp. Here's the exact words. The Agenda 2030, 15 inch in the year 2001, they started the 2030 agenda. The first 15 years was the formation stage to get everything legally. Formation stage, all right, and the concept form everybody on board, all the governments. But then starting this year, 2016 until 2030, it's implementation phase. So every year you're going to see more and more of the implementation of global sustainability. I'll throw this in as well. My wife's a Mensen. So, you know, last year we went to the National Mensen Convention, 3 days, Louisville, Kentucky, where, of course, the Mensens are all the top 1% IQ in the world. So they have these professors that come in, and they use these Mensens as a think tank and to launch their objectives and ideals that they think is needed to save humanity. And they, lecture after lecture, had to do with depopulation. There's too many people eating. Cows are too big of a footprint. It costs too much to feed cattle and then to feed people meat. We got to get people eating grub worms. Literally. We need to raise grub worms. How can we convince the masses? How can we implement more vaccinations? And so you throw this at the top 1% mind thinkers in the world. They go back and they think about ways to bring it, and they bring it back to the next convention. And these things then get floated up to the top of the major governments. This is the agenda. They are marching and they're following Bible prophecy. They're literally following the pages of the Bible. Whether they know it or not, they're in process to bring about the end times. And one of the reasons why God had me name my television show and my online show The Coming Apocalypse, which means the coming revelation. It's a Greek word for revelation or unveiling, is because that's what's happening. We're seeing an unveiling, a revealing of the end times, and of course that also will include the coming of Jesus Christ, and that's the good news.
Amen. And folks, you know, this has been an information-packed segments, the two segments with Pastor Paul Begley. If you have been enriched by this, obviously, visit Pastor Paul Begley's website, watch him, listen to him weekdays, 12 to 3, and support him, because we need Pastor Paul Begley, his wife, His ministry. We need him. We really do. And we've been blessed here by the information offered by you tonight, Pastor. And it's amazing to sit here. And I remember, I think one of our first conversations, about 5 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, and thinking about where we were then, and look at how much ground we've covered since then. Look at how much has gone on. It's just incredible to me to really think that we are at this point in time. And it's even going to get worse quicker. So, my word.
You know, I was thinking about, yeah, you're right. We've seen such an unbelievable, it's accelerating exponentially. I did a show, I actually got a Facebook, a lady contacted me on Facebook and told me that a police officer in San Francisco, California, told her, said, "I'm retiring, so I'm going to just tell you this." And he explained citizen containment and that how the connecting of certain buildings and tunnels and railways was actually is a real deal. It's not a fake thing. It's not a conspiracy theory. They're actually working on it. It's part of what they have to do for citizen containment. Even the walls you're seeing now down between interstates and towns are to seal off sections of cities in case of catastrophic events, whether it be a time of war or disease or civil disobedience. Okay? So he gives her all this information. He said, "Because I can't go to bed at night. I can't go to sleep at night knowing what's getting ready to come upon the people." So she sends me this in Facebook and says, I just want to share this with you. And of course, don't reveal my name or the police officer's name. She didn't reveal his anyway. I did a YouTube video about it, guys, just saying, here, let me just read to you this. And I didn't think nothing more about it. To me, it's just confirmation of what we already know. The very next day, I get a phone call from a man who actually works in the NSA. And he tells me, he says, your name and your video was across the page, right across the screens, all over our agency. Because the information you shared in that video, there's no possible way you can know. And this is information that's very sensitive as far as they're concerned, because it's letting the cat out of the bag. And when they now have you on the list, Pastor, he said, now I love you. I listen to you all the time. Okay, he works there. He said, when I saw your face and your name come across the screen, I said, oh my, here we go. And we know that all of us are being listened to and monitored in some way. But I think it came to me then, the realization, that just means to me that we struck a nerve. That's what he said. You struck a nerve. Let me put it to you in this terms. He said, you hit a home run in the agency. We're saying you hit it out of the park. You're revealing something that's dead on the money, and it brings concern. And so what that says to me is they're a lot further down the park. Everything's a lot further down the pipe than what we really realize. They're hiding in plain sight, guys. It's all coming together. It's the beast. The beast is rising, and it's exactly what it's supposed to do. But no fear here if you're a Christian. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's for sure. You're on the wrong side of the fence in a big time way, and you won't have the courage to stand strong when the rubber meets the road. You might think you will, but you won't. You need to come over to the winning side and give your life to Christ and get on the team that Christ is coming for, the bride, and that's very important.
Wow. Amen. Absolutely. And it's interesting, the scenario you described, where we are, you know, connecting the dots on things like that, because containment is the ultimate, well, depopulation, you know, the mass killing in by whatever means, and then the containment of the masses, because you cannot control what you can't contain. You can't control what you can't see, and we're talking about you know, whether it be the economy or people. So this is.
Can I throw one more thing in there, Doug? I hate to jump out.
No.
But when you look at what's happening now as far as also Venezuela, okay? So Venezuela was once a thriving country. Hugo Chavez wins the election, but he immediately starts working on changing the constitution, working around the laws, executive orders. And before it's over, he starts seizing property, seizing businesses, taking over industries. When I was in Florida this past week on Monday at the coffee again, at this coffee I had, you never know what you're going to find out when you just say, hey, I'm going to be having coffee. If you want to show up, show up. But these two brothers show up from Venezuela. Two brothers been watching us for about 3 years, they said. They've been in America 16 years. I interviewed them quickly and did a YouTube video and threw it up that night. But I asked them, what happened? And he said, it's exactly, they rewrote the Constitution. They changed the laws. He started taking the businesses away. And our people started standing in lines and food lines. And then they went to the farmers. They told the farmers, you will sell all your food to us at 30 cents on the dollar. You can't go to the free market. And the free market start going out of business, you know. And so this is part of it. This is part of this new world order. They put the people, now they're standing in line 4 and 5 hours a day. There's a limit on how much they can buy. And when they get there, they have to be fingerprinted, and they have to match that they're on the list for acceptance. And at any time, the government can take you off the list, and then you can't buy or sell. This is already being tested in the masses in Venezuela. This is the preparation. This is the testing ground of part of what is coming upon the world.
Wow. Mm. Well, everyone should have the warm fuzzies hearing that. But no, I think, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Looking at Venezuela and seeing the what's going on there, and you can check various websites. Go ahead.
He raised gas prices by 6,000% just this week.
gas prices.
See, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, and it's really kind of a, I would say, a look into our future. And we're seeing all of this, I mean, whether it's in Western
Europe.
You're
lucky.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're seeing this take place all around us, and it's just a matter of time before it hits here. One closing final question for you, Pastor, and I've gotten probably 24 emails from different people all over the country wanting to know your feeling on this question. Good. I guess this is a good place to close. Do you see... Do you see us making it to the election? Or do you see, I guess the bottom line here is, do you see us having a presidential election this year? We say this all the time, that, you know, hey, maybe not. You know, things might happen. But on balance, everything your research, everything you've seen, do you think we're going to have an election, presidential election this
That's
year?
That's a great question. And to be honest, we could easily be forced into a third term of Obama, which means Hugo Chavez would stay, and we would see the decline a lot quicker. It could happen. There's no question it could happen. I used to think, no, but no, it could happen. But to be honest, okay, so it could happen. But I've been in prayer. One of the things the Lord revealed to me in 2014, the Lord came to me and said, in 2016, America is coming to a crossroad. Now, I've been saying this for 2 years on the air. At this crossroad, America will have to choose, are they one nation under God or not? It may be part of the election. It may be a Supreme Court ruling, but it's coming to a major crossroad. A decision has to be made. Maybe it's a decision whether or not to allow Obama to stay in power or have an election. I don't know. I believe there will be an election. I really do. I do believe it will be an election. But there's a major crossroad, that's for sure. We might not, but I'm just saying, there is a crossroad. We're going to have to make a major decision. And the death of Scalia really shook me. I'm thinking, oh no. Because this affects the court, and this could affect the decision that America has to make. It's coming. There's a decision. I don't know what it is exactly, but we'll know when we get there. It's whether we're going to be one nation under God or not. This is exactly what I received from the Lord. But I did get another word from the Lord this weekend, and I want to share it as I'm closing. I was said, Lord, help us. I was praying, Lord, what do we do now? What do we do? And he said, Paul, as I heard the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt, I hear the cry of America. That was a word I got this weekend. You can tell the people, as I heard the cry of Egypt, of the children of Israel in Egypt, I have heard the cry of America. But still, we have a decision to make. Are we going to be one nation under God or not?
Wow, powerful.
I think we're going to have an election. I don't know who's going to be in the finals. Some may not even be alive to see it. But I'm talking about the candidates. I'm not sure they're all going to be there. I'm not sure that every candidate left is still going to be alive. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. But we're going to have to make a decision. It's a big one.
Wow. Powerful.
Pastor, you have filled up the 2 hours of our showtime tonight.
Wonderful.
And we can't wait to come on your show. Again, we'll be on your show tomorrow. As you said, starting right after you start your show.
Yeah,
thanks for inviting us for that.
Yes, show starts at 12 noon, and I'm going to bring you guys in there at about 12:15 or so.
Well, we'll be here and ready, as we have an in-studio meeting tomorrow morning. So we will be here well before the start of your show, and we'll be listening as you start. We want to thank you and your wife for all you do and for coming on our show and for the friendship and the professional relationship that we've had over the years. And we're going to keep you in your ministry and in our prayers, and we ask our audience to do the same. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you guys. Thank you, guys. It was an honor.
Thank you, Pastor. Until tomorrow, folks. By the way, tomorrow night, Dr. Ted Brewer.
Yep.
On the Hagman and Hagman Report.
And again, we'll be on Pastor Paul Bagley's show.
Yep.
He's on 12 to 3. We'll post on our website for you.
God bless.
We have left the building.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.